It is now time for the Warren County Radio Bible School. You're going to have an interesting lesson today. We're going to talk about an excerpt to a Sunday school lesson called God's Hand in the Life of Nations. What we've been studying is about Joshua and the conquest of Canaan and all the little city-states and all that Joshua had to conquer and the different peoples that were there. And at the end of this lesson, the man that wrote these Sunday school lessons, E.A. Elam, had an extra called God's Hand in the Life of Nations. We were beginning to read that in our last Bible class, and we just ran out of time, and so I was cut off right at the end, and I understand why the radio station needs to do that. I'll tell you, I get so engrossed in these lessons that I know the end is coming, but sometimes it's hard for me to be able to turn my attention away from the presentation I'm giving to the time that is going on, and I just let it get cut off at the end. But I try to make that up in the next class and bring that back to you. And so I'm going to do that again. I was beginning to read this, and I'm going to start over again in just a few moments and read what the Bible says about the hand of God, and particularly about how it applies to the nations. Now, before I do that, I need to remind you, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And now let's return to this lesson about the hand of God. And as you are listening, you will be in our class session 494. Here's what it reads. The hand of God stands for power. For God smote Egypt with his hand, Exodus 3 and verse 20. He delivered Israel from Egypt by the strength of his hand, Exodus 13 and 3. By his mighty hand, Exodus 14 and verse 8. And by a high arm, Acts chapter 13 and verse 17. The Bible speaks of the people as being destroyed by the hand of the Lord, and of the good hand of God, and of the hollow of his hand, of his right hand doing valiantly, and of being glorious in power. Psalms 89 in verse 13 says, Thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. How beautiful the expression concerning Israel, and nonetheless concerning spiritual Israel. In Deuteronomy 33:27, The eternal God is thy dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he thrusteth out the enemy from before thee. God still rules among the nations of the earth. He is Lord of heaven and earth. He gives himself to all life and breath and all things. He makes of one nation every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, having determined their appointed seasons and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek God, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain of the Athenian poets have said, for we also are his offspring, Acts 17:24-28. Christ today is the ruler of the kings of the earth, Revelation chapter 1 in verse 5. He is King of kings and Lord of lords, 1 Timothy 6 in verse 15. The Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the lowest of men, Daniel chapter 4 and verse 17. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doth according to his will in the army of heaven, and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou? Daniel 4:34-35. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that have understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the dark, and the light dwelleth with him. Daniel 2:21-22. God teaches Christians to make supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving for all men, for kings and for all that are in high places. But not all Christians seem to know or to regard the reason which God himself gives for making these supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving. They pray as though the rulers are the only ones to be benefited by such prayers. And they also tell the Lord what they expect him to do for rulers. This is not prayer, but dictation to God. They overlook, if they do not seemingly ignore, the very thing for which God commands them to pray, namely, that themselves, all Christians, may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and gravity. 1 Timothy 2:1-4. God commands all Christians everywhere to lead this tranquil life, this quiet life, and to do so not in part, but in all godliness and gravity. The emphasis is on all. He commands them to study, to make it their aim, Romans 15:20, or to be ambitious, as it says in the margin, to be quiet, as well as to discharge all other Christian duties. And 1 Thessalonians 4:9-12, we read, But concerning the love of the brethren, ye have no need that one write unto you. For ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. For indeed ye do it toward all the brethren that are in all Macedonia. But we exhort you, brethren, that ye abound more and more, and that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, even as we charged you, that ye may walk becomingly toward them that are without, and may have need of nothing. So their aims and prayers must be directed to this life. So intent must be they on leading this life, that they pray God to overrule all lawmakers and civil government, so that they will enact such laws as will not interfere with his people leading the life which he commands them to lead. While God would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, all who ignore or overlook the reasons he gives for praying for civil rulers do not pray according to his will. Hence they do not pray in faith and submission. This, to pray, to offer thanksgiving, to make supplication and intercession for all men and for kings and all other civil rulers and for the reasons which God himself gives, is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But God cannot answer these prayers if he does not rule in the kingdom of men and give it to whomsoever he will and overrule lawmakers so as to protect his children. Then it is as clear as light that God will not protect his children and lead them into ways of pleasantness and paths of peace unless they delight in such a life and desire his guidance into it. People do not pray for what they do not desire. So I have raised the question, do all who claim to be Christians desire to make a constant effort and pray to lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and gravity? And do they really believe that God can overrule civil authorities so that they may really lead this life? I am rejoicing to say that many do. Jesus said to Pilate, Thou wouldst have no power. Now the marginal reading is, thou wouldst have no authority. Thou wouldst have no power against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivereth me unto thee hath the greater sin. John 19 and verse 11. This made a deep impression upon Pilate. Believing in and implicitly submitting to God, his children rejoice in that tranquility, contentment, quietness, and gravity which are undisturbed by the turmoil, strife, and upheavals of the world. For they possess the peace of God that passeth all understanding, which guard their hearts and thoughts in Christ Jesus. Let me read that to you from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Here we read, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, rejoice. Let your forbearance be made known unto all men. The Lord is at hand, in nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus." If we desire in and comply with the conditions, this peace will be ours. We sometimes sing in an old hymn, "The hand of God is in it all." And Jesus once said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you." Now that brings that Sunday school lesson to a close. And I turn the page, and I see that old brother E.A. Elam has written a Sunday school lessons for February 24th, 1924, on the period of the judges. And we're going to begin studying that lesson at this time. The text is Judges 2, 16, and Judges 7, 2 through 8. Let me read those main texts. Judges 2:16 says, "And Jehovah raised up judges who saved them out of the hand of those that despoiled them. And yet they hearkened not unto the judges, for they played the harlot after other gods and bowed themselves down to them. They quickly turned aside out of the way wherein their fathers walked, obeying the commandments of Jehovah. They did not so. And when Jehovah raised them up judges, then Jehovah was with the judged and saved them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For it repenteth Jehovah because of their groanings by reason of them that oppress them and vex them." Judges 7, verses 2 through 8. "And Jehovah said unto Gideon, The people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hand, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, My own hand hath saved me. Now therefore proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, Whoever is fearful and trembling, let him return and depart from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. And Jehovah said unto Gideon, The people are yet too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, This shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee, and whomsoever I say unto thee, This shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people unto the water. And Jehovah said unto Gideon, Every one that lappeth of the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise every one that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting his hand to their mouth, was 300 men. But the rest of the people bowed on their knees to drink water. And Jehovah said unto Gideon, By the 300 men that are lapped will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thy hand, and let all the people go every man to his place. So the peoples took victuals in their hands and their trumpet, and he sent all the men of Israel, every man to his tent, but retained the 300 men in the camp of Midian, was beneath him in the valley. We'll study that in our next class.